You're listening to The Social Expedition. Fueling your digital and social existence. Produced in the offices of LunaWeb, this is episode 23 from March 10, 2010. So,
here we are.
Episode 23.
Yes, we are sans Dave.
We are on our own.
We are. He left us here with the keys to something. Hopefully we won't break it.
I don't think we will.
He is actually en route right now to Austin for South by Southwest Interactive. I think the last time I checked his little update, he was in Texarkana. So he's not quite there yet.
Texarkana is really not quite anywhere.
It's true.
Can't decide what state it needs to be named after.
No.
Don't trust that.
No. But that is where he was last time I checked. So he will be at South by Southwest Interactive and at the South by South Health or something about health professionals in social media. There's like a conference going on right before everything gets kicked off. And that's like
a
happening.
Very specialized one.
Probably. Very specialized.
Is it independent from?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It's actually happening with Dana Lewis, who we've talked with on this podcast before.
Yeah.
Who does a lot of social media and healthcare.
She was pretty nice.
Yeah. So she's doing that, and he's going to be, I think, poking his head into that a little bit.
Yeah, if you happen to be in Austin, keep an eye out for Dave.
Definitely.
I have no idea what he'll be wearing. Probably a t-shirt and a brown blazer, because that's what he tends to wear to those kind of things.
It's true. It's true. But in the meantime, the world is still turning, though we have been left here alone. 48-hour launch was this past weekend.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm still recovering from that.
Yeah.
I was not up for all 48 hours as I had planned, but pretty close. I think it was like 40. I think if I do the math correctly, I was probably there and awake for 42 hours.
My goodness.
Yeah. So I'm still pretty exhausted. I had Monday off just to recover from that.
So we've got a bunch of new like businesses that we can follow, even on Twitter, a couple of different websites we can go to, things that have already kind of gotten off the ground. So tell us about that.
Well, absolutely. As far as like the websites and the Twitter handles, I'm going to have to get you a list and we'll post that with the blog. But off the top of my head, there was one that was like the romantic playbook.
Yes, learned about that. I was there for just a second on Saturday.
Yeah.
And I did get to know a little bit about the romantic playbook.
Mm-hmm. Apparently, I forgot to tell my wife that I was going to be there for as much time as possible this weekend. So I probably could have used their services before they launched. Be glad to sign up for a beta test, guys, you know, if you
hint,
need
hint.
That. There's also one called Chrono Comics by Julia Lovell, a very young entrepreneur. She's a real cool person. And it's basically going to be like this website where webcomic creators can go and have essentially like sponsored comic series.
Sure.
I don't know how to pluralize series. I think you just say series.
I think you do too, like fish.
But that just wasn't clear enough. So yeah, there's that Tourney Caddy, which is a golf-based... It's a system for keeping track of golf tournaments, whether they're non-profit or for-profit, and basically helps you... From what I understand, helps you keep track of the scores of players across different tournaments. And there's also one day help. I'm not remembering that name exactly, but it's basically a placement service for very short-term temp work, like manual labor and what have you.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it sounds very cool. I talked with one of the guys working on the project for a couple hours one night, just trying to keep myself awake.
Yeah.
And then I was actually based in the room itself called the Launchpad with three music projects. And what was really interesting about that is all of these projects were focused on putting the power of the music industry back into the hands of the musicians and creators. Which is a very, very important approach. You know, the music industry is struggling, but people still continue to make music, and they deserve to be able to make a living. So seeing that power put back into their hands is very cool. Now, those projects are One Song Concerts, The Tip Jar, and my project, The List of Bands. we're also like looking for ways for those three projects to all look, all kind of like link together and support one another as we go forth.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't like just combine forces because we all three had different approaches.
Right.
And we think they're all very compatible approaches.
Cool.
So it'll be interesting to see what the next year, possibly 2 or 3 years, brings to the Memphis community, just in terms of empowering local musicians.
Absolutely. Well, that's awesome.
Yeah. And again, I can't think of all of the Twitter handles and URLs off the top of my head, but we'll provide a link to as many of those as I can find in the blog post.
Awesome. That is really cool. So definitely, if you were not at 48-hour launch, you know, sounds like you missed out, but there'll always be next time, and you can check out all the businesses that have sprung forth from it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's an exhausting process, but it's well worth it. The list of bands did not get fully up off the ground because we had some scheduling conflicts, and something went pretty badly wrong with the design of my site. But you can go ahead and check out a preview, too, and just follow the link.
So what else is going on?
Well, it looks like the Betty White Facebook group.
They found some success in life.
Yeah.
Because Betty White's going to be on Saturday Night Live. I just think it's pretty hysterical because, you know, how often do you see those groups? Like, what's the one right now? If 1 million people join this group, my sister will name her baby Megatron. Have you seen that?
Yeah, I've seen that one. And I fully support that decision, though I refuse to join the group.
I will not join the group either. But I think, you know, that's extremely common. I mean, once a day, six mm-hmm. times a day, eight mm-hmm. times a day, you see one of those.
Can this pickle get more fans than Nickelback?
Exactly.
Which it did. But
well, that's deserved.
That reflects more on Nickelback than anything.
Well, and I like pickles. I mean, yeah. I didn't join the group, but I like pickles. But yeah, I mean, it's just interesting that one of those things has finally seemingly gotten its voice heard. You know, and they could argue that it doesn't have anything to do with that. I mean, Betty White's had a lot of success recently. She's been in some movies, mm-hmm. had some things going on. And, I mean, she's Betty White, let's be real. But at the same time, she's a preeminent female comedian. I mean, she is, you know, she's a hysterical woman. Yeah. Anyway.
Betty White's awesome. I mean, that's all there is to it.
She is. And it's really interesting to me to open up my newspaper and see a story about Facebook, you know, Facebook fans mm-hmm. bringing Betty White to SNL.
Right.
Just a sign of the times.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's wonderful to see how much success that just grassroots this grassroots foment of revolution.
Absolutely. Foment. That's a GRE word.
Yeah, that is a GRE word.
Big time.
I mean, it's great to see how this grassroots movement can actually affect big business. I mean, it's not affecting like real social change in this case.
It but definitely it's affecting could. Something.
Yeah, it's affecting GE.
Seriously.
That's
Jack
pretty Donaghy impressive.
Has been affected. Well, maybe not.
Maybe Jack not Jack Donaghy, but...
Certainly yeah. Liz Lemon.
We have ventured too far into the realm of the fictional.
No one should have ever left us by ourselves. So this week, our guest... We had a great guest in here earlier to chat with
absolutely.
Us a little bit. Rod Kirby.
Yeah, of rodkirby.com. He's a success coach. And he's just an all-around very cool guy.
Like, I feel more successful.
Yeah, he had some very interesting things to say, especially about like treating your blog like a magazine in terms of like advertising and the way you approach content. So you know, pay special attention for that.
Yeah, definitely. Cool guy, smart guy. And if you are hungry to hear more Rod Kirby after this, you can come to our breakfast. In April, he's going to be our speaker. So don't have all the details just yet on what he'll be talking about, but those will be available soon on our meetup site, meetup.com/socialexpedition. And that's April 7th, the first Wednesday of each month, as usual. But it'll be April 7th, and definitely want to come out to that and hear what Rod has to say. So I guess now we'll cut to that interview with Rod Kirby.
Yep. Let's roll on into it.
Our guest this week is Rod Kirby, the success coach and editor-in-chief of the Success Center. Welcome to the expedition, Rod.
Thank you. Thank you for having me aboard this fabulous ride into social media land.
Oh, my goodness. That's exciting.
I think we need to tell Dave our new slogan.
Absolutely. Fabulous ride into social media land.
It's an expedition. Let's take a trip.
It is. So
grab your pith helmets.
We met you back at Social Camp. You did a couple presentations for that back in September, so long ago. On blogging, on, you know, treating your blog like a magazine and growing your blog community. And you do a lot of blogging with the Success Center. So tell us a little bit about your blog and how you got started doing that.
Well, the Success Center is a site for Christian entrepreneurs, and we basically focus on marketing, financing your business, how to be empowered to do the things that you want to do, and also just social media and maximizing all the tools to make the best of everything that you have available for you. So it's really a comprehensive look at how you can be a successful entrepreneur from where you are, not even using or spending a lot of money or not even getting investors and all that stuff. It's just kind of where you are and where you want to go.
Right. So what were you doing before you started the Success Center?
Before I started the Success Center, I was doing graphic website design, and I was a serial entrepreneur, which means that I had a whole lot of business ideas and nothing really worked. Mm. And I finally just kind of said, well, you know, I wanted to use all the experience and all the wisdom that I've kind of obtained from not making money to help other people make money. And I figured, you know, money will come later. So I made the transition into being a coach and consultant.
Well, no, as I mentioned earlier, one of the things you talked about at Social Camp was growing your community. What kind of readership do you have now, like, you know, a little more than a year later, mm-hmm. on your blog?
Well, what's awesome is that even though I talked about that during Social Camp, I backed that up. Okay, and what I mean by this, I did research, and I also put out a poll, and I found out exactly who my readers are. So I have predominantly female readers. I have predominantly married readers, and they are, of course, small business owners who are looking for information, who are looking for things to help them grow their businesses. And so it's really a diverse crowd, not just race-wise, but just people in general, looking and, you know, wanting knowledge, wanting to know how to use social media for their businesses. So it's really grown tremendously since then. Back then, my site was ranked probably on Alexa. It was in the million. It was like 1.5 million as far as in the world. And now the site is ranked at 300,000 in the world, and then 78,000 in the U.S.
It's a pretty big jump. That's awesome. So how did you do the survey? Was it something that was embedded on the site? Did you email? How did you do that?
I used Constant Contact, and hopefully they'll pay me money for saying that. But I used them to do all my email marketing and surveys, and I just emailed it to my list and also put out a link on the site for people that, you know, who don't subscribe to my email newsletter. And I just got a ton of responses, and people just really, you know, when you ask, you can get, you know, if you don't ask, you won't get anything, you know. So you have to kind of put it out there for people to say, well, yes, I do want to participate, or no, I don't want to participate. And fortunately for me, they did participate, and I not only got an understanding of who my readers were, but also what they wanted. And that was so key in knowing and how to go forward with the blog, because you get so stagnant in mm-hmm. one place with the blog as well. I just want to focus on this one niche, but right. Let's see what they really want,
yeah,
and what they really need.
That's really interesting. I mean, I would think that, you know, as a blogger myself, that's the kind of information a lot of people would, you know, kill for, to know that specifically, like, just so much more than Google Analytics can really provide.
Right,
to
exactly.
You.
Right. It's like sitting across from a reader and saying, okay, well, what problems are you facing in your business? How can I help you? What can I help you solve?
Well,
and
it's
they
not
tell
like
you.
That. It is that.
Yeah.
And that's the great thing about like having surveys and polls, is that like you get that direct feedback,
mm-hmm.
rather than like trying something and seeing if it works like you would with Google Analytics.
That's right.
Like you get the direct feedback on what will work.
That's right. And that's how it was with my first blog, because I have rodkirby.net, which mm-hmm. is a WordPress hosted site. And I was just kind of putting things out there. I was blogging every day, and I didn't miss a beat. And, it got a little traffic, and a couple people made comments and all that, but it wasn't really what they needed. It was really stuff that was good stuff that I thought was good, but it wasn't what they needed. And then I relaunched it into rodkirby.com to the success center that you see today. And this is what people need, and it's really helping and impacting lives.
Very cool. So I know at Social Camp, you the presentation you gave specifically was treating your blog like a magazine.
Mm-hmm.
And I was running all around across the building, and so I didn't get to sit in on that, even though I'd love to. What was the main point of that presentation?
Main point is that it depends on, first and foremost, what you want to do with your blog. If you want to just blog and be a hobby blogger, that's cool, that's fine, do what you do. But if you really want to make a difference, you want to make some money, you have to treat it like a magazine. And if you look at a magazine, they are media properties. They're not just booklets. You know, they have advertising. They do things differently for their community. They give out valuable information consistently. These are the things that you have to do if you want to be a successful blogger and become a pro blogger.
Like, basically give yourself like assignments as to like great stories, great in-depth stories.
I mean, that's a part of it. You know, your content is definitely a part of it, but you also have to feed your community. Right. And you're not just feeding it content, you're also feeding it yourself. You know, you have to be open, you have to be nurturing, you have to give in order to get.
Right. You mentioned magazines have advertising.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you have advertising on rodkirby.com?
I do. And I do it a couple ways, though. I'm not just one that wants, a banner ad here and there.
Right.
And that's it. I want to make strategic partnerships. I want an advertiser to feel like they're a partner with me.
Right.
And they're presenting something valuable to my community. And they're getting something valuable back.
Right. So are you doing this through affiliate advertising, or are you doing it through...
I'm doing it as affiliate as well as direct.
Okay. Very cool. And what kind of like success and turnover have you had with that?
It's been pretty good. I've got a lot of offers from different companies, but I'm not accepting all companies. That's the key.
Yeah.
You know, you have, like, if you look at
all right, what Yahoo seems like a very key aspect of treating your blog like a magazine is you are, like, editing the advertising as well.
I mean, you've got to put your hand in it, because if you don't, it'll turn on you, and your content doesn't become your content anymore, and it doesn't attract the people that you want to attract.
Right.
You know, so you have to make sure you kind of, you know, set certain boundaries and look for certain key partnerships that'll actually present benefits to you, and not just money.
So, I mean, this is just another part of listening to your community.
Absolutely.
And participating in it.
If you know exactly what they want and what they need, you'll be able to find other people that can present those products and services to them.
Well, very cool. Right. That's...
So,
That's it, man. That's the key, you know?
It is the key. I mean, that's actually pretty pretty basic insight that I think a lot of people don't get to.
Yeah, and a lot of bloggers, especially if you're looking to make money from your blog, you know, they don't treat it like a business. They don't treat it like I said, a magazine. If you think of a magazine, you're thinking, oh my God, a magazine. That's kind of tough. That's something new. That's a whole property. Well, yeah, that's what you got to do. You have to get up every day and look at it as something other than a blog, other than just a interactive medium online. You have to think about it down the road. Okay, well, how am I going to present this, you know, a year from now? How am I going to branch this out into different areas? Can I do a book off of this content? Can I create a membership site off of this content? Yes, you can. You know, you just have to think about it in that way and then pursue it.
Well, very cool.
One of the parts of that you were talking about is the content. And I know you posted something recently about kind of maximizing your time. And we've had a conversation here on the podcast and at our recent breakfast about keeping content fresh on your blog. And I think that's one of the challenges that a lot of people face is, you know, trying to being able to commit that time that they, you know is necessary to keep content new, yes, but also as high quality as they want it to be. You know, not just slapping something up there every day. I mean, what kind of advice would you give for bloggers who are really struggling with that?
Well, first and foremost, it comes down to your blogging frequency before you even get to your content. You know what you can give first and foremost. I was blogging every day on my first site, and it gets tiring. You get burnt out. People like Chris Brogan, they can do it consistently because he's practiced it for a long time. And if you can do that, if you want to do that, do it. Okay, but first and foremost, figure out a schedule that you can devote your time to. And for me, a editorial calendar helps me to accomplish that schedule. So I do my strategy is basically on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday to pump out new content. On Thursday and Friday, I want to have something from my archives that new people that haven't read anything, they can get something fresh, right?
All right, cool. So you're basically pacing yourself with producing new content.
Absolutely. I don't post multiple times a day. You know, I'm not trying to burn myself out. I got things to do.
Yeah.
You know, people to make love to. All right. So we got things to do. So on Friday, I figure people don't want to sit there and read long article posts because they're probably getting ready for the weekend. So I do a video on Fridays. You know. So this is my calendar for the week, and it's very easy to do. Yeah, you know, I can do it in the morning time and still have plenty of time to do everything else I want to do the rest of the day.
Right. Now, I know one thing that we're kind of fascinated by here is the rise of video and social media. Now,
What kind of equipment do you use to do that? Is it just like built-in camera on your computer? Do you have like a flip cam? And what do you use to edit it?
Well, if you're going to do video and if you want to be serious about video, you have to get serious equipment. I think a good place to start is a flip camera. It's a nice place to start, but you know, when you get into low lighting situations, it's not really good. I use the Kodak ZI6, which is kind of a step up from the flip cam. And what the great thing about it is you can actually put an SD memory card into it.
I've heard about
so
that.
So you can actually have, you know, hours and hours of video.
Right. Which and you don't have to, like, plug the camera into your computer to upload the video you've already taken. If you want to film more than you've got memory space for, you just grab an extra SD card and swap it out.
Absolutely. There's no uploading or anything like that until you're done and ready for it.
Right.
As far as video editing, I use Adobe Premiere. I use that. And it's nothing easy to learn. I come from a graphic design background, so I'm used to it. Used to Adobe
from
products.
Graphic design background, so you're well familiar with Adobe and how they work.
Exactly. But there's actually, for all the Microsoft people out there, is Microsoft Movie Maker. It's actually a decent piece of software to edit video with.
Yeah. If you're a Mac user, iMovie is great as well.
There you go.
So, I mean, there's really very little barrier to entry into video editing.
Absolutely.
You just have to get a decent camera. A lot of computers come with decent cameras, too, so...
And I also use a Logitech camera, webcam, which is it's a 2-megapixel camera. Because, I mean, most of the cameras that come with computers, they're kind of decent, you know.
Yeah.
But if you really want good quality, you got to get yourself a standalone camera.
Well, very good. Very good to know.
And if another tip, if you like, YouTube is great for posting your videos, but I also like Vimeo. Vimeo uses, they allow you HD uploading, and they don't have as many file restrictions as YouTube does.
Yeah, and it looks really nice when you embed it on your blog, because it doesn't have all the borders and all the controls always showing.
Right.
And
it's very customizable.
When you do show the controls, they at least look really nice.
Mm-hmm.
And like if you really want to present yourself well, that's a great tool.
That's right. And what I do is I use, if I have a video, because YouTube, you can only put on there a 10-minute clip at the max. So if I have a hour-long video, I'll just do a 10-minute clip for YouTube because it has that mass audience.
Right.
You know, that's your sizzle piece.
Yeah.
You know, go ahead and put your advertisement in 10-minute pieces, put it on YouTube, and then have the full video on Vimeo. And, of course, if they want to watch the full video, have a link back to you.
I didn't know you could get that long on Vimeo. That's good to know.
Yeah. That's right. You can do up to an hour on Vimeo.
Nice.
It's great.
Nice.
And if you pay for it, even longer.
Yeah.
Huh. Good to know. Well, I know you recently released an ebook, right?
I did. It's The Entrepreneur's Guide to Twitter Success. And it's basically my rant on how to maximize Twitter for your business. And there's a lot of good information on there. And it only took 3 days to do. And it got a ton of downloads.
So is that something we can still download? Or was it available... only for that one time? Can we find it on your website?
No, it's on there. It's rockkirby.com. You'll see it immediately in the sidebar. And there's even, if you go to the top, there's success guides, because this is not going to be the last one.
Right.
I'm doing a couple of them. So, and one cool thing about the ebook, you can actually tweet from inside the ebook.
Really?
Yes, ma'am.
That's cool.
So while you're reading it, you can click the little...
grab little bits and...
take the little Twitter button, click it, and it'll instantly go to your Twitter account. And you can retweet it.
Very cool.
That's pretty cool.
Now, is this available in multiple ebook formats? Could I, like, I've got a book reader on my iPhone. Do you have like an EPUB format where I could use that?
Not yet. I'm working on it. I'm working on that as well as a BlackBerry and Kindle version.
Very cool.
Awesome. So, can you tell us like one of the highlights without, you know, just make us want to go download the book?
I guess the main thing with using Twitter for your business is to make a value proposition. And what I mean by that is you have to give in order to get. You have to create value for your market and for your followers. And one way that I do that is by consistently engaging with them, not just giving out, you know, letting them know what's going on with my blog. That's all good and fun.
Right.
But you also have to, you know, pay attention to their needs. And also, another tip that's in the book is to also address people by their first name. Which is a little different and maybe a little time consuming, but when you make it personal like that,
right, absolutely,
it really brings it down to a human level, which is what's missing in social media a lot of times.
Right. Because I know on Twitter, when you talk to somebody, you're hitting that username.
That's right.
And a lot of times, you don't necessarily
You might know the person in real life and not know exactly who they are on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Very cool.
It's just you know, it takes that veil away. It brings it down to earth, and you know, it's a one-on-one now. We're not just online and chatting username to username. You know, I'm talking to Ted. I'm talking to Billy. I'm talking to Margaret.
Right.
You know. And you are my friend, I'm your friend.
Right.
And you don't fake that. You can't fake that.
You can't. There's no way.
If you do fake it, you know, you're going to get fake results.
Right.
But if you're genuine about it and you really care and interested in your followers, you know, they'll really give you everything that you need as far as retweeting your content, sharing your website, linking to it, you know, and sharing everything that you put out there.
Very cool. Well, we're almost out of time, so why don't you tell us a little bit about where we can find you online? Quick list.
The first and foremost thing you can do is always Google me, Rod Kirby, or Rodriguez Kirby is my full name. That's what the government gave me. But you can Google me, and of course, rodkirby.com is where you can find my blog. And really, that's the central hub where you can find me. I'm always on Twitter /Rod Kirby and Facebook, Rod Kirby 2, the number 2.
All right. Excellent.
Right, very cool. Well, thanks for coming out. It's been a great conversation.
Thank you for having me. It's been a great tour through social media, this little expedition. It's been fun.
Thanks again.
You tell Dave I'm keeping that for myself.
We will.
All right. You'll have to take that up with him.
So I really like what Rod had to say about how advertising forces you to pay attention to your audience.
Absolutely.
Like, you're going to make more money through advertising. You're going to treat your audience better if you just pay attention to your audience. And I think that's a really important thing to pay attention to, and to try to, if you're selling ads on a website, it's really important to pay attention to that.
Well, and I think too,
if you run a website, period, it's really important to focus on your audience.
Right, and I think that it harkens back to the idea that we often lose, that advertising is actually meant, on some level, to be beneficial to people.
Right, right.
To connect you to things that you want.
Yeah, it's not just supposed to bring you cash, it's supposed to help your audience find product that they'll use.
Exactly. And so, yeah. And so if you're paying attention, you can create that level of benefit
in
your advertising relationship.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's important for me to focus on, with the list of bands especially, like, advertising techniques that will force me to listen to my audience from the very start. Like, I'm now an entrepreneur. I want to see some success. So the best way to do that is to grow my audience, and the best way to grow your audience is to provide real value to them.
Absolutely.
And great way to gauge that is the advertising. You've got Google Analytics as well, but
you have to combine your forces.
You have to combine forces, and you know, when you're dealing with advertising, you've got like a real world dollar amount telling you exactly how well you're serving your audience.
Absolutely. Awesome.
It's one of the best motivations ever.
So, we've got some stuff coming up.
Awkward.
This week's Core Conversation, happening as always on Friday at 11:30, the Call-In Podcast, is going to be about South by Southwest again. Dave is going to be joining us from Texas for that podcast, and we'll be talking about what he's been up to at the healthcare little mini conference that was happening, and also what's kind of on his agenda for South by Southwest, maybe hearing from some presenters and some exhibitors as well. So you'll want to join us for that. The information is available at socialexpedition.com as always. And next week, this is pretty cool. We're actually going to have Amanda Mock in the studio to talk to us about her trip to Haiti with Le Bonheur Children's Hospital.
Very cool.
So that should be really awesome. I'm sure that, you know, if you're interested, you can check out some of her writings on that already over at Memphis Connect. But we're definitely looking forward to talking to her and finding out more about that trip.
We mentioned it earlier, but there's also the April Social Expedition Breakfast. And that speaker is going to be Rod Kirby. So, if you want to hear more of what he has to say, come on out.
Should be good. He's a real engaging dude.
And there's bacon.
Absolutely.
You can't complain about bacon.
You really can't. All right. Well, thanks so much for joining us again.
Yeah, absolutely. Remember, our website is socialexpedition.com. You can keep track of all of our updates and events there. And follow us on Twitter at SMExpedition. And with that, have a great week.
See ya.
The Social Expedition Podcast is produced at the offices of LunaWeb, a Memphis leader in web development and social media, online at lunaweb.com. Your hosts are Dave Barger, Elizabeth K. Wine, and Matthew Crawford Trissler, who edits the podcast. Our theme music is The Year Before the War by Eric Maskell, available at ericmaskell.com. For more information about the Social Expedition, including links mentioned during the podcast, visit socialexpedition.com. Thanks for listening.
We have ventured too far into the realm of the fictional.
No one should have ever left us by ourselves.